Hello and welcome to another Simpsons commentary track. This is Secrets of a Successful Marriage, 1F20, I believe is the nerdy way to say that. This is David Merkin, executive producer and showrunner.
David Silverman, supervising director.
And Greg Daniels, writer.
Just like to mention that the original air date was May 19th, 1994.
Is that a lie? Find out.
Look it up for yourself.
That's right. We're also Matt-less at the moment. This is a day where Matt had something else and he had a run. But he sends his love to everybody and hatred to others.
I believe he had to finish a Life in Hell comic.
There you go.
His other job. Nice lighting in here. Carlos Baeza directed this. Very nicely done. He's not here to help us with a commentary. I will try to do my best to substitute for him.
You'll do a great job because, you know, David was supervising all the animation through these seasons, and he was so great. I mean, just, you know, he's the best, most fun guy to work with. Just so amazingly talented and so easy to work with at the same time. And then on the other end of the coin, we have Greg Daniels, writer, who is just, you know, trouble. He's just an angry, bitter, you know, he's very, very sweet group. And this is another script that Greg did. He did a fantastic job, and it's a lovely emotional story. And, you know, we tried to do more of those in these seasons, and it was great to have Greg there because he was so good at that.
By the way, another incident of Homer being thrown out, as we mentioned in the earlier commentary. Homer just got kicked out again.
He does get thrown out of a lot of places.
Yes. Now, Greg, was this your second?
This is my second script. Uh-huh. And
not quite as good as his first. Already there was a deterioration. No, he just got better and better. And this is a great show, and many, many people love this show. And I always hear great comments about it. Do you remember where the idea or anything?
Yeah. Well, you know what it was. It's funny. It was kind of maybe a little bit of a reaction to how big my first script was, or something. And then I went here and I tried to think: is there anything that Homer is really good at? Because we did so many episodes where he wasn't very good at anything. And I thought, well, maybe he could be good at being a husband or something. So if he could teach anything about that might get him in a different role.
And that got married to a concept that I was very big on, which is the fact that they have the biggest fight they've ever had, and he's really thrown out of the house, and we really, really worry about the relationship.
That was
great. Because if anyone talks about something in The Simpsons, it's why are these two people together? You know, why does she stay with him? Why does she put up with him? I always understand these things intuitively. There's a lot of talk in network TV. Why is this and why is this? Because people do it, and you intuitively understand that people stay together even if they argue all the time or they fight. There's some sort of connection. But, you know, it's great when you're doing a lot of shows to explore these things. And this was a really great exploration of the marriage, ultimately, in the later part of the episode. And, again, Greg did a terrific job.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Now, Mo is very, very hip-talking here.
Yeah, it was really fun to have Mo for some reason, to have, especially the lingo at the time. And then the whole idea of gangbanging right there. He had the rifle ready to go. It was all, he had the whole thing.
That means the spit was on target. Now you try.
Just a lovely, lovely thing.
Sorry.
That's on a cell phone.
Yeah, we're going to be getting calls in here. Feel free to call this number. It'll actually work. We'll be in the studio. And you guys can call while you're watching the DVD, day or night. We'll be here to take your questions.
He could teach a class. I mean, I could teach a class.
What is your area of expertise?
So funny to like watch these after 10 years. I can't recall anything.
Well, I like we take the adult out of adult education.
That's fantastic. That's a great sign. And I know this has probably been mentioned before, but in case it's for some reason this is the first commentary you're listening to, we spend hours on those basically freeze frame jokes. So for some, you know, nerd with no life who likes to freeze frame things and read every little thing, we throw those things in and destroy
that. That's like the audience for this DVD track.
that's always my method. But yeah, we spend hours and ruin our own lives and own relationships to get you those freeze frame moments. So keep that in mind.
Have you ever mentioned the word Gallipoli? Do you remember that term that we came up with?
What was it?
For, well, I remember we had a term, a Gallipoli was a, some kind of joke that you would throw the best flowering youth of the staff on, not you personally, but just that one would, everybody would break on this, you know, they go up over the trench and get mowed down by the machine gun fire of this one joke opportunity that we would spend hours and hours trying to crack. And
that's a good term. That's a good term.
I do love his jacket with the patches.
And he's so proud that he's actually a teacher now. He couldn't help but just ring his door and run away. Now he has to tell the Krusty Burger, because that's his second most intimate relationship in his life, I think, is with that Krusty Burger box.
Yeah.
Felony to tease the order box. I did not know that.
It is?
I'm a teacher.
This is actually very accurate. You are allowed to do this if you're a teacher. It's a very arcane law, but they cannot touch you. You can go through any red lights, break any laws.
It's hard on my ears just knowing.
I know, it was mixed very, very well.
Make sure everyone here is in the right class. Down the hall, room
12. I've forgotten about that.
And he gets
that
a second one. I love how easily it comes off as well. The magic of animation. Now, this takes a lot of bravery, I will say, in production where you have a character who can't think of anything to say and actually sit on it for real time. For a long, long time of nothing happening, because that's network television's greatest fear, is dead air, and to actually just sit with it is something I'm
I love
proud
that
of.
Kind of stuff. I must say, it's a perverse love, everyone.
I also love the fact that the thing that comes to mind to him is no talking. That's like the one thing he remembered about teaching, was that he'd say no talking a lot.
You totally remember that. I tried to do, you know, to change shows on Get a Life, I tried to do an act break where apparently both characters had died in the act break, and we come back and you're used to seeing, well, they didn't die, but I wanted to come back and actually have them just be dead for as long as we can possibly get away with. So people, well, the whole second act is just looking at these dead bodies. I wanted to create that impression, you know.
I'm a smart woman, but I make.
And that again, the amazing Phil Hartman, always hilarious, and again a dream to work with.
I was married once, but.
This was married once.
Wait, let's see this.
Let's forget. I forgot. I remember this.
Well, this is Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. Right. But then it morphs for absolutely no reason to Streetcar Named Desire. Watch. I mean, it's like we don't even get our references. I mean, we did it on purpose just to screw with people.
Exactly.
But here we go. Suddenly.
It's the end of Streetcar Named Desire.
Yeah, there it is. There it is. For no reason at all, it turned into that.
Black and white.
That was what was.
We really studied the way, you know, Marlon Brando did that. And that's the second time we did that. Because you did the same thing in Streetcar Named Marge.
That's right.
That too, with the Hey Marge.
That's right. And we will probably do it several times more.
I'm making a point about marriage. Well, you see, marriage is a lot like an orange.
And this is great animation and great acting, the way he eats this orange. I've always enjoyed it. I still enjoy it to this moment. Why? Look at the way he does it, the way it kind of...
He just rubs his face.
I actually wanted to eat an orange like that. It looks like it would be kind of fun, doesn't it?
I was listening to some documentary about an orangutan the other day, and they talked about his muzzle, which is the term that they always use for Homer's face part, too.
And there's actually a class. And that was Molman teaching the class.
Yes.
And have you talked about the origins of Molman and stuff in other commentaries?
I'm not sure if we have, but he did show up in I think it was a Principal Charming. So we must have talked about it other than Principal Charming. That's where he first showed up. And he was this mutated character that was sort of badly drawn and just didn't come out that well. And I think Matt took a look at it. We can't have drawings. Like, look at this Mole Man, for instance. We can't have something like that.
That's how he was
named. Yeah, and that's how he stuck. It was the second season. And then Mole Man, what's a good name? And actually, I believe his name on the driver's license was Ralph Mellish, which is a reference to a Monty Python routine.
That's right. Mr. Mellish.
Mr. Mellish.
Yes, yes. And so Matt was actually complaining about him. And, you know, it's sometimes what happened, if Matt will complain about something, he'll say, well, let's put him in again and see if Matt complains about him again. And then he keeps showing up.
Maybe that's why Matt isn't here.
He knew that this was a Molman episode he just ran. Now, Matt likes him now. But we do. He's one of the characters that we kill often in the show and always have some horrible thing happening to him. He got off great there. The only thing that happened to Molman is he got yelled at a little bit. That's
a good thing. He might have died of a heart attack.
Molman was the first guy to explode right? In a way,
I think he was with
that
car,
it couldn't explode, or was it the car? Well, cars
so.
Explode, right? But then they started. Then things started to explode that had no gas tanks. There were
well, there was a milk truck that exploded, and of course, I think in the Homer's triple bypass, we of course had the birthplace of Edgar Allan Poe that was being towed and that exploded.
Marge, I didn't. That exploded.
That
yes, the house.
Right,
at the Quickie Mart, everybody knew I dyed my hair.
Oh, you mean about you? All right, maybe I said some things. Some.
This is where they got the idea for Everybody Loves Raymond, by the way.
And that also, that lawsuit is pending as well. I mean,
yes,
I see
yes.
This is it's so clearly stolen from this.
The last sequence was where Seinfeld was originated from.
There isn't anything that you've ever seen that hasn't originated from The Simpsons. This is another
this
one of our mutated multiple movie reference lines.
This is like almost every line that Jack Nicholson ever said.
This reminds me of Jace. Didn't Jace have a hand in that
speech? It's very possible. It's very possible. Jace Richfield, who will be in to do his one of his shows, was a huge help to us on these seasons. Jace Richdale, terrific writer and producer.
I love the way the groundskeeper Willie has his head down and is hitting the desk.
Yeah, he's so frustrated. He's so frustrated. But whenever we would do these movie lines, Dan, you know, who plays Homer, just would nail them so well, and that's one of the reasons we love to do them. Not only were they fun to pilfer, but they were also great to hear Dan perform.
Yeah.
Young Mary.
Don't go there, Homer.
Remember when we kept saying "you go, girl"? Or maybe that was me.
I think that might have been you.
We identified it as being very hacky, and I would constantly pitch it to be a jerk.
And I don't think it ever got in, or maybe it did.
No, I don't think we ever would have put it in.
Oh, they're very happy.
They're happy to hear the smutty stuff.
look at his face.
See, all this was a setup basically for Homer to do the worst thing he ever did to Marge, and that's this, which is to bring everybody home, and then her to find out that he's told her very, very, very intimate details about their love life to them.
Apparently, that disturbing odor was the food.
That's where Frasier came from.
I love that Willie is in the class. I mean, this is really a great interest of his. He secretly wants to be married.
And the guy that drives the school bus.
Well, Otto, he's young. He wants to...
Exactly.
Otto, right.
And Smithers, you know...
There was an early joke which we missed, which was Otto was saying that the reason... Smithers is there, isn't he? Well, we're not saying who
we're
Drake could be.
Besides,
works for either sex.
It might be illegal at some point.
This feels like an episode that ran out of money, doesn't it? It's like all existing designs.
All existing
designs. Well, per your request...
It really is what Greg is talking about. It's always in my interest too to mix it up, to do these really large shows.
Yeah.
This was the season that Homer went into space,
right,
which was a huge thing that we'll talk about. We wanted to mix that up and also have the smaller intimate shows as well. And you know, the thing about The Simpsons that's great to write is that it's a budgetless universe. You know, when you do live action, and I've done a lot of live action, Greg's doing live action now. Every time you write a joke that's outside of the thing or it has a special effect, it costs tens of thousands of dollars more than a regular episode would cost, and it really can add up. And as a writer, you can curse yourself, because I'll write a joke that I then later have to direct live action, and I'll go, I just cost myself $75,000, but that's really funny, you know? The Simpsons, wherever they go and whatever they do, it pretty much sounds, it costs exactly the same. And that's really what's great for the imagination. You can go anywhere, do anything, have any kind of style, change styles, and we write different types of shows. Like, this is a romantic comedy this week. Another week it could be science fiction. Another week it could be horror. That's fantastic as a writer to get to do these different things and explore these different forms. And but it's important to not just go big and not just go crazy and to ground it in the characters, and that's what Greg did in the show. And I love this.
Getting old.
He's very cool. He's going to go off on his own, and this is as far as he gets, which is Treehouse.
He's turned into an ape man.
Yeah, and looking longingly in. He's not even being cool about it at
all.
That
was a really good shot, wasn't it? To start on him and then pull out, and he's right outside their kitchen window.
Very
great
good acting.
Carlos,
there.
Wherever you are.
By the way,
well
I
done.
Love the last shot in the end of Act 2, the sort of low-angle shot where you're down on the ground with Homer, sort of looking up at him.
It's
you're
great.
You're lower, and it's all like...
Yeah.
Ejected and
yeah, that's her ball of string that she adds to it, killing the cat there in our tradition of hurting innocent animals.
Yes, that's why you get all the environmental awards.
One of the things I love, and I don't know if it's right away when we see it here, but that he's out of the house for just a couple hours and he instantly has a rope belt. Like he wasn't able to.
No, he declines very, very fast.
He does. It's fantastic how quickly
I think he has
falls.
A beard after about 3 hours.
In the house, you could turn sissy overnight. Oh, these stubborn grass stains.
He's not a sissy, folks.
This is a nice Reverend Lovejoy scene.
He has to push the sanctity of marriage, or his God will be.
I like his God. It's not Homer's God, it's his God. And of course, they're telling her to get a divorce instantly.
This thing, technically, we're not allowed to go to the bathroom.
Which apparently is true.
It
if
is
I ever true. Bothered to read it, I'd find that out.
I love the way there's a terrible indentation there.
They need a new mattress, don't they? They haven't been rotating that mattress.
You know, every time I see that, I go, oh, the animation made a mistake, there's no picture. And then, oh, that's right, there is no picture.
I sort of forgot that, too.
Some great signs here that remind her of her problems in Homer. And again, this took hours to come up with these signs.
And the music.
Hopefully
this
they're
is
good.
A beautiful music that you put in there. I mean, there couldn't be anything more sappy.
It's very sappy. And it looks like we're going for that moment when she's hearing all this stuff, but then we sort of realize that Homer is actually in the back seat of the tube, and he's throwing it. Now, here's the rope belt. Now he's deteriorated. For some reason, being out of the house means he can't have his own belt.
I like the way he's
with Stanley Robinson because he's in a treehouse.
You don't need your mother anymore.
Now he's gone completely crazy.
Yeah, it took him 24 hours to go insane, completely insane.
How much he loved her.
Lisa, you will respect your new mother. Now give her a kiss. Kiss her!
I remember we came up with this in the room, and I loved it.
Yeah. Look at Lisa just staring off like, what do I do with
said,
my dad?
We had to get our story straight. He believes he murdered the...
A bush with a paper plate on it.
Oh, I miss Marge. Lisa, you're smart. Help me trick her into taking me back.
Dad, you can't trick somebody into loving me.
That was, my favorite part about working on The Simpsons was when the room would grab something and run with it, and it was like jazz, and we'd all be kind of pitching and...
It's really a great thing. I mean, we get when a writer like Greg goes off, we get fantastic things from the original writer. But the thing that takes it to the next level is in those days there were 7 of us, 10 of us, maybe up to 12 of us, you know, in a room together working to all hours of the night, going over each thing and improving it and working as a team. And there's nothing like that combination of all these terrific writers coming together with all their points of view and all and riffing on each other. You know, in the most fun way. I mean, it's competitive, but only in the most loving way.
Right,
and you just build on someone, and you just get stuff that no human being on their own would ever come up with. It just is really great stuff, and it is an absolute blessing and joy to be able to do that, to work with that level of other writers. And it's so time consuming, and you don't have much other life, if at all. But it really is an experience second to none, I think. We're very lucky.
Yeah.
The other thing is also, I think the rhythm of the show allowed us to put all the material in. So when you would be riffing and you'd have all these jokes.
Right, it could build on each other, and yet you could use all of them.
Exactly, because I think on the sitcom, because you have to sort of wait, you got to there's a laugh or whatever, the rhythm, the live action, it doesn't allow this. But here you could just layer it on top.
The Simpsons is at least 2 times and mostly like 3 times as dense as a regular sitcom. And it also takes longer to write for that reason, because we're putting in 2 and 3 times as many jokes as a regular sitcom. By the way, I think this was the first time that Mo had declared his feelings for Marge.
Yeah.
And I was really happy about that.
That became a big thing, right?
It became a big thing. And it was something I'd always felt about Mo, that he would secretly be interested in her and his loneliness. And it was an interesting side to see Mo kind of courting and be kind of quiet and be all dressed up. And he becomes very kind of craven and funny and less threatening.
I remember this. This is
fun. I love the design of that.
My tattered rags are caught on the coffee table.
This, I remember taking us an enormous amount of time to kind of come up with that and to figure out what the thing would be. And I think that we were definitely assisted, and I was talking to Greg about this too, by Jim Brooks.
Yeah.
And if we weren't directly assisted by him, we were definitely at the
we
very
definitely
minimal
said, what
channel-
would Jim do? Yes. WWJD.
Yeah.
We were definitely channeling Jim Brooks here if it wasn't him. The fact
oh, this
that
is a great, great ending.
To take care of me, to put up with me.
The thing he can offer is total dependence.
Yeah.
And, of course, Marge is healthy enough to go for that.
Exactly.
The thing, that's thing is, this is very sweet, but it's also full of the wrong information. That, the other thing, our goal is to often mislead the audience. If you follow what these characters do, you're really going to screw up your life. Don't ever do that. This is just The Simpsons, people. It's not a good idea.
Don't this try is, this at home.
It's not a healthy relationship. It never will be. That's sort of the point. That's sort of the fun. But they do love each other, and the truth is that people do love each other through this unhealthy kind of miasma at times. So it's observational, but it's not necessarily recommended.
So my class here is about this. Kidding.
Kidding.
Where'd that come from?
Kidding.
I'm really glad you're back, Dad.
Feels like Nathan Lane or something.
Screw it up.
That's a nice reading by Artie.
Yeah.
I missed you so much I couldn't concentrate.
It's a great joke.
When I got an F.
Hey, this is dated 2 weeks ago.
Oh. Sorry, here's a fresh one.
You got a fresh F for sure.
A fresh one.
I'll give it to you later tonight.
Special present? I don't want to wait. I want it now. I want the children to see.
He actually gets it. That's the smartest you can actually imagine Homer being.
See, he's not slow anymore.
Hey, Mo.
And Homer never really gets that Mo is trying to hit on his wife either. He never quite picks up on that.
So he's picked up the pace on parts of it and still slow on the other
the ball on others.
Yeah.
Really, really cool episode. It's kind of interesting. We're doing this one the same day that we're doing the other one you did, the India one. And it's nice to see the contrast of a really complex one, involved one, and a very comparatively simple.
Right at home, yeah.
But the same process of cutting the bad jokes and polishing the good jokes.
It can be much more difficult to write the smaller shows and to write the little intimate details that remain interesting and exciting. So there's no less skill involved in one or the other.
Exactly.
They both have their challenges. They're just completely different. And again, that's what's great about writing The Simpsons and what keeps us fresh. We love writing different things week after week. Keep it different, keep it changing.
And not only that, we're done.